Today we're going to start our Sunday School series. Last time we did on Sunday School, we actually dealt with the scriptures and the confession. But today we're going to deal with something different today. This is the second Sunday of the month. We're going to actually today going to be dealing with marriage and parenting. But before we jump in, let me give you guys a couple layout on how we're going to tackle these matters. We'll spend about 20 to 25 minutes on parenting and marriage. If these two subjects over the time on parenting and marriage might take a little bit longer than what is suspected or more time need to be on each matter, we'll think about changing things up, you know, on how we're going to do about it. Should we separate them, do parenting, or should we just do marriage? We're still going to try to work through it. Also, everyone should already have, in the sense of the books or if not, you can go online and get the first chapter of each one of these books online for free. And so what's going to help us with these discussions and help us with this subject matter by you guys going ahead and putting the work in through the week. If you just come here on Sunday and just let Creston talk, it's going to be hard for you to really keep up with what I'm talking about here. It's going to be hard for you also to be able to use these things through the week if you're just waiting on Sunday. So go ahead and spend some quality time in these books and be ready to discuss these things on Sunday morning. Many of us in this room right here have admitted already that we have struggles with marriage. Many of us already has admitted that, hey, we have had struggling with parenting. We thought we know everything about parenting, but many of us have admitted and said, no, we have messed up. We have seen a lot of failures in how we went about parenting. So if parenting is that much important to you, important to all of us, put the special time into parenting and these material and also in marriage. By putting that quality time into it, it's going to help equip one another in these things to better honor the Lord with our lives. So every week, again, come with questions. Try to ask the questions I want you guys to ask. Ask the question dealing with the topic that we're talking about at that time, because we can spend all morning dealing with so many things about marriage and parenting. So try to stick with what we are discussing that particular morning. Another thing, too, is that there's nothing more enlightened, nothing more important in this life in the sense of as a parent being having the opportunity to raise your children, to witness to them of the gospel. And for you to disciple them, it's nothing more important than that. Not football, not, you know, that secular show you might want to watch. Whatever the case may be, you would not get this time back. This is the most crucial time you have. It's important to your children and also husbands. There's nothing more important out there than also important to your wife and leading your wife. And also for wives, it's nothing more important out there for you that also encouraging your husband, also encouraging your kids. So if you want to put more time in the week on everything else and not these areas, you're going to display where you're important, your allegiance to. If your true allegiance to your family, you're going to put time into get in these books. You're going to put time into reading these things and coming with questions. So please spend the quality time with these things and come with questions and have a discussion. Because I tell you what? Each and every one of you guys can encourage all of us in this room. We need to hear the wisdom from you as well in God's word. So if you don't come prepared, how can we hear God's wisdom through you if you're not studying these things? So the first thing we're going to do is that, and the last thing we're going to deal with too is that these discussions will also be recorded so you can go back to them and listen to them and see if you have any questions what we discuss. So let me go ahead and jump into the first subject here, which is going to deal with marriage. We're going to deal with family-driven faith. Vodi opens the book with several good questions to stir us up to think about our responsibility as parents. He says this right here. He said, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? If you're a part of my mom's generation, you recognize that saying. You probably heard it each evening before you watch the nightly news. The idea was simple enough. Parents are to make sure that children are in the house for a decent hour. A lot of them say before the street light is out. You better have your back end at home. That's how we grew up, many of us. So who will argue with that other than the teenager who want to stay out at night? He or she want to stay out at night. So for them, they will argue with that. But for the most part, we always ask, hey, where are the kids at? The street light is on. Why are you not at home? But today's question should be asked this way. Do you know where your children are at spiritually? Is little Johnny biblically literate? Does Sally know the difference between virginity and purity? Are your children on the road to responsible Christian adulthood? Are they part of an alarming new trend that has seen the overwhelming majority of so-called Christians' children walk away from the faith? Then he skips down and page 12, he mentioned right here. He said, according to researchers, listen to these statistics, 70 to 88% of Christian teens are leaving the church by their second year in college. Listen to that again. 70 and 88% of Christian teens are leaving the church by the second year in college. That's right. Modern American Christianity has failure rate somewhere around 8 or 9 out of 10 when it comes to raising children who continue in the faith. That doesn't hit you. That's a secular institution. They are taking our kids' minds away from the gospel that we have taught them. What is going on? These statistics are very alarming. Many youth, teenagers are part of many youth groups will go off to college and walk away from the faith. I have a friend that raised his sons. He has two sons. He raised them up in the church. And both of them are drug addicts. Both of them don't want to have anything to do with the faith. We have many youngsters that grew up in the church. Even in our community, embracing groups like Black Hebrew Israelites. Embracing all types of stuff. They're growing up in the church and they're leaving the church. The number is going up. It's going up so fast right now. What is the problem? What is going on in our generation? Vodi goes on to page 14. He said, the problem is not that these children are leaving Christianity. He said, the problem is that most of them, by their own admission, are not Christians. Mm-hmm. Since they're leaving make complete sense. The Apostle John put it best when he wrote this right here in 1 John 2:19. They went out from us but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. The reason why these children are leading the faith is saying here is that they wasn't really Christians from the get-go. We see this not only in 1 John, but other places in scriptures of those who profess Christ, but really was not part of the faith. They said many of the right things, but they truly didn't have a new heart in Christ. They repeated after a pastor. They said these things, but it was not true regeneration in a person's heart. Vodi says in page 14, go farther. If Christian parents are going through life convinced that their children are regenerate, when in fact they are not, what if our sons and daughters are merely going through the motions as they walk through life as goats among the sheep or tares among the wheat? What if that 4 or 5 year old we baptized because he or she was able to look out into the congregation and parrot the words, Jesus is my heart. Well, just saying that what he or she had been conditioned to say. Unfortunately, this is far from unusual among Christians in our culture. Tom Ranger was a researcher from the Southern Baptist Convention, which is one of the biggest Protestant denominations, indicated that nearly one half of all the church members might not even be Christians in America. This is not just disturbing for SBC churches. It is indicative of a much larger problem. Thousands, if not millions, of people have been manipulated into repeat after me and pray. And if you ever want to see the dearly departed loved one again, come down on the altar call without trace of the spirit regeneration power work. Satan is so very active and wants to see our kids turn away from the faith. And as many churches around us are thinking about, well, we baptized 50 people this Sunday. We baptized 80 people this Sunday. And they have manipulated kids to say these things after me, and you will be baptized and you will be saved. Satan is sitting back and rejoicing and celebrating because we think we are winning, but we've actually been deceived in this entire time. So are we going to continue to let Satan deceive us and our kids? Are we going to take responsibility and lead our families, men and single mothers? Are we going to lead our families and actually see regenerate, true regenerate repentance? So where do we start at in this? What do we start at in all this? Vodis mentions here, he said he wears all kinds of different titles. He's a preacher, he's a writer, he's a speaker, and many other things. But he said those things aren't the most important things to him. He said the most important thing to him is that he is a husband and a father. He said, it is my responsibility with my wife and children that give my walk with Christ legitimacy. So what he's saying is that even though he's a writer, he's a speaker and many other things, what's really profound, though, is that not because he's a writer, what's truly profound in him is that how does he lead his wife and lead his children? You can say you're a Christian all day, fathers. You can say you're a Christian all day long. The legitimacy of your faith, how do you lead your family? How do you lead your wife? And for sure, he says, and for sure, the importance of marriage and family is not the norm in our day. Vodi talks about a professional writer getting invited to go into Bill O'Reilly to show on page 19. And this writer, Rebecca Hagelin, has strict views on her children's consumption of media and entertainment. Mr. O'Reilly asked the woman if her 17-year-old son watched MTV. The woman said no. And she explained that as a result of the moral foundation she had, she and her husband laid in their children's lives, her son had no desire to consume such things. And then O'Reilly made a very interesting statement. You're lucky to have children who are willing to stand for such nonsense. At one point, he said, I would have run away. This view of O'Reilly is typical for many professing Christian families. What is going on here is that this woman went on the show, and Bill O'Reilly asked this woman everything about her children and her parenting. This mother says they are careful to consumption what the kids intake. And Bill O'Reilly comes out and tells the parents that I would have ran away if I was a child that age. Bill O'Reilly's a father. For him to make this, and Bill O'Reilly's a picture of so many other parents in our day now, is for fathers now are actually attacking parents, other fathers and everything that are saying they're Christian, are attacking Christian fathers and parents who want to give their children a biblical worldview. So this world is against giving our children a biblical worldview. Vodi talks about how church search committee looking for a new pastor. They don't even look at the father and the husband that lead their home. To be a pastor or a husband and to be a pastor of the church now, if you can communicate well, that always matters. That's always matters. You can communicate well. If a pastor can preach and communicate well, that is good enough for many churches. If the importance of marriage is not displayed in the leadership, you should look for another church. He got it, Emma. He got it. Let a man go. I don't know. Many Christian families allow their children to be entertained by the world with things like MTV and are surprised in the simple things our kids get into at a young age. So if you allow your children already at a young age consume so many things that is not appropriate for the age, we shouldn't be surprised what they turn out to be. We shouldn't be surprised. Are we letting our kids see what does it mean to walk in the Lord at an early age? There's a larger issue at stake here. The question is not whether or not our children sin later in life. The question is, do we have a biblical obligation to train them before they leave home? Is there any biblical validity to the idea that Christian parents should allow their children to experiment with ungodliness. They're just young. Let them just enjoy these certain things ungodly. They're just kids. Is that true biblical leadership? So Voldy goes on now. He said, we look at the biblical mandate and compare it to the societal norms. And there appears to be something wrong, something missing. We believe that somehow we are depriving our children of experiences that will make them more liked or more respected and more normal. Hence, we trade in the biblical standard for the cultural norms that hovers just below mediocrity. All of a sudden, our desire for our children change. Now we all want for our kids to is what every other parent wants from their children. Did you guys get that? A lot of time we give away a biblical worldview to say we want our kids to fit into the world. But we want our kids to be light in the world. And so what we want to do is that we want to drop the bar of parenting and actually allow our kids to experience the world, to be able to hang out with little Johnny and to all the things in the world, for them to be light so they won't be, in a sense of, be separated from the world. We want them to be in the world and learn from the world, and just for them to be famous, for them to be popular. We let go our biblical worldview for them to, for their popularity in some sense. That's what he's getting here. Then he gets three examples of this. The three examples is making the grade, making the team, and making time. The first thing was making the grade. He says it right here on page 21. Ask parents what they want most for their children, and you will likely get the same answer whether they are Christians or guardians or you get the same thing even from an unbeliever. You get the same thing here you get in our society. They will likely say this. I want my children to get a good education. And in fact, exactly what George Barna found when he interviewed Christians and non-Christian parents. The number one goal they had for their children was that they would get a good education. So what happened is that he said our priorities right here have been tweaked. A lot of time our priorities for the kids is what? To give them a good education. Is that the main priority, to give our good a good secular education? Number two, we give, making the team. Making a team gets that. If I teach my son to keep his eye on the ball, which is football or basketball or soccer, but fail to teach him to keep his eyes on Christ, I have failed as a father. We must refuse to allow trivial, temporal pursuits to interfere with the main things. Making a team is tremendous achievement. When our sons and daughters play sports, that's good that they was able to achieve great things, but that's not the main priority in our kids' lives as making a football or basketball team. No sports endeavor will ever be as important as becoming a man or a woman of God. So are we so focused on making the grades? Are we so focused on making the team? And the last one he gives here, the third one is he gives is lost my notes here. Give me a second now. Yeah, making the time. Modern American dating is no more than a glorified divorce practice. Young people are learning how to give themselves away in exclusive, romantic, and high committed. And it goes on to at times sexual relationship only to break up and do it all over again. God never intended for his kids to live like this. And instead of stepping in and doing something, many Christian parents simply view these types of relationships as a normal and necessary part of growing up. Unless your child is wiser than Solomon, stronger than Samson, and more godly than David, all of whom sin sexually, they are susceptible to sexual sin, and these premature relationships serve as open invitations. I want my children to grow up and find mates. I can't wait to walk my daughter down the aisle, he says here. I can't wait to see my son go out and buy rings for that special someone. However, at this point, there are more important things in life besides being involved in such exclusive relationship before you are ready to be married. It's like going shopping without any money. Either you will leave frustrated or you will leave or will take something that doesn't belong to you. So what it gives me is that the time. Are we giving the kids the right and proper time? Are we raising them and maturing them the proper time in the sense of what we know as even for marriage? What is dating? What's the purpose of dating in our society? Because I like this person. What is the overall purpose? Dating should be used in the sense of, coding should use the sense of for marriage. For marriage. If it's not for marriage, only thing it's going to leave with is nothing but desires that's going to lead you down the wrong road. So what do we start in all this is that we got to get to the priority of this. And the priority of this is for us as parents to take back over our family and give them a biblical worldview. That's what to get in with marriage is that I want to give you guys the beginning of it is a problem all around us. If some of us are naive and say everything is okay, you are blinded. It is a problem, big problem in our society, in our community, with marriages and parenting. And as we shift over with the time we have now left, a few minutes we have left, I'm going to briefly talk about shepherding a child's heart. Our culture has lost its way with respect to parenting. We're a rudderless ship without a compass. We lack both a sense of direction and capacity to redirect ourselves. How has this happened? Several problems have converged at this intersection in our time and culture. Many people have children but do not want to be parents. Our culture has convinced them that they need to quench their personal thirst for fulfillment. In a self-absorbed culture, children are a clear liability to some parents. We don't want the responsibility. Go play the video game. Go get on YouTube. We give all these things to occupy our kids because it doesn't fulfill our desires in that moment. Sounds pretty selfish, doesn't it? Thus, parents spend minimal time with their children. The notion of quality time is more attractive than the old idea of quantity time. Today's parents are part of the generation that threw off authority. It is no longer for cultural acceptance for dad to be the boss at the home. Mom doesn't obediently do what dad says, or at least pretend she does. Dad, for his part, no longer lives to fear his boss at work, or even fear being fired at work. Yesterday, bosses used authority to accomplish their goals. Today, bosses use bonuses and incentives. Look at our society, even with police officers today and teachers. Kids don't respect authority because we haven't even taught it at home. Shep is sharing with us a downgrade of parents in our culture. We just learned about the changes we see in the institution of marriage in our day. Now we also see the changes in parenting. Parents are spending a minimal amount of time with their children. Again, tablets, cell phones, game systems, computers are now taking the place of family time and the quality time in God's word with our families. Not only time is an issue, but also submitting to authority. Children now obey they struggle to obey teachers. They only obey teachers on their own inconvenience. Only when a teacher is going to give them something good in return, they obey the teacher or they obey someone outside of the home. If you do something good for them, incentive. Parents, children now are running over parents. When a parent says one thing, the children now can say what they wherever they feel at that time. No sense of authority. No submit to authority. Parents used to say, "You listen to me, kid, or I would do this to you." Even though this form of parenting was easy and straightforward, and the kids were externally submissive even when we grew up. But this type of parenting still failed as well. Do you know why? This method fails us now because our culture no longer responds to authority as it did a generation ago. So now you tell a kid these days and everything, you listen to me. Learn some of the kids might bow up against you. It doesn't work anymore. You listen to me and you do what I say. A lot of that don't even work anymore in our day. But, and also, this method was unbiblical anyway and didn't get to the root of the issue. When you used to tell your child, you listen to me, that didn't get to the issue. That didn't get to the heart. It didn't get to the heart of the most matter, most important part of this. Today's parents are frustrated and confused, and children don't act like they should act, how the parents want them to act, and the parents don't understand why. Many now have included now, it's just impossible. It's impossible today to raise kids. But I say this right here, it is possible to raise kids in our continually changing society. Even though the society changed, God's word doesn't change. So society is going to get worse and worse and worse. Do that mean we give up on parenting?
Right.
The Bible is our safe God. It is the revelation of God who has infinite knowledge and can give us everything that is needed to raise our children up in the Lord. The Bible presents an accurate and a comprehensive picture of children, parents, and family life, values and training, nurture and discipline. All you need to be equipped for the task of parenting. The Bible gives us everything we need. The parenting task is multifaceted. It involves being a kind of authority, shepherding your children and to understand them on themselves and God's word, and keeping the gospel clear of view so your children can internalize the good news and someday live in a mutuality with you as people under God. If we desire to give our kids a biblical worldview and to be good stewards of the gift of kids, we must give these areas a full attention. There is nothing else in the world more important than leading in your home and leading your children. You can buy them everything they want. Take them out to get their favorite ice cream. Their favorite new pair of shoes. Favorite game system. And spend the most time with them doing so many different things. But if you don't daily lead them in the task of God's word, you have failed as parents. So let me brief mention to you as we end here today. The four tasks that's indicative as parents. These are four tasks that are indicative. The first thing is authority. God calls his creature to live under authority. He is our authority and has vested authority in people within the institution he has established. The home, the church, the state, and businesses. You must not be embarrassed to submit to authority, or in the sense of follow after the patterns of this world. We must submit to authority. You exercise authority as God's agent, parents. Parents, you're not God. But God uses the agent to exercise authority. You may not direct your children for your own agenda or your own convenience. You must direct your children on God's behalf as for the good of God. So parents, you have the opportunity to show the authority in the home. And the children understand they have to submit to you. They understand they have to submit to God. They understand they have to submit to the local officers around them, the teachers. If they don't submit to you at home, they feel like they don't have to submit to anyone. They don't feel like they don't have to submit to God. Parents, we have to teach submission in the home. Second thing here is shepherding. If authority best describes the parent's relationship to the child, the best description of activity of the parent to the child is shepherding. The parent is the child's guide. The shepherding process helps a child understand himself and the world in which he lives. He shepherds the child to understand not just the what of the child asking, but also the why. So shepherding is there. Not just what to do and what thing, why. Asking the child why. The why gets at the heart. It gets to the heart of the matter. The third thing you have to see, we need to see in parenting is centrality of the gospel. The central focus of parenting is the gospel. You need to direct not simply the behavior of your children, but the attitude of their hearts. You need to show them that not just the what of their sin and the failure, but the why. Your children desperately need to understand not only external, but what they did wrong, but also the internal why they did it. You must help them see that God works, how God works in the heart of that person. In a sense of it, gets it right here. A lot of times we want to deal with the behavior. It's either the slap on the hand. We want to deal with the outward or the behavior. And we don't want to do the hard work and deal with the heart. Where does that behavior come from? Why is little Johnny deceitful? Why is he stealing? Why is little Johnny doing this? It's an issue of the heart. Johnny needs a new heart. There's a reason why he's not being obedient. Because he needs Jesus. And the last thing here, before we get to the last thing, we got two more left. The internalization of the gospel. Ultimately, our children must internalize the message of the gospel. Each child in a Christian home will at some point examine the claims of the gospel and determine whether he will embrace its truth. The child wasn't going to grow up and ask you the question, why should I believe this? Why I want to believe these certain things? The things that you need to internalize the gospel. In a sense of, you need to walk them through, allow them to ask these questions at a young age, discipling them daily. Pointing to them. Daily. And the last one we get set, the mutuality as a people under God. Lastly, it is good to always remember that we are mutual in God's economy. We can share our failures and our mistakes with our children. To let them know that we are in need of a Savior as well. Parents, we're not perfect. We should allow our children to see our failures and point to let the children know that we are in a Savior, need a Savior as well. And even when that children come to know the gospel, allowing that child also to know that you guys are brothers and sisters in the faith as well. Even in our church here. I think our two youngest members are Donovan and Trey J. Donovan and Trey J have the same mutual responsibility as any other member in the church. Same. They're mutual in this. Donovan should be encouraging me. Treasure should be encouraging me. Amen. And vice versa. It's a mutual work in the gospel. And it also shows, as adults, it shows our humility. We can be vulnerable with our kids and be honest with them. And let them see that we are daily in need of sanctification. So these two are pretty much an introduction of what we're going to be dealing with. We're going to go more in depth in these matters. But are there any questions with these two topics this morning? Yeah, I think that's one of those things too, is that ask yourself the question, if they really don't know, maybe we can go by in a sense of, are we simplistic? Are we speaking over our kids' head? Are we giving them simplistic matter? Or are they using the I don't know as a deceitful mechanism? Are they using that in the sense of another tactic, in the sense of for them not taking ownership? You got to think about it. The issue is authority. Mm-hmm. It goes back to Adam and Eve. For them, they had everything in the garden. But one thing, they didn't rule over God. And they wanted that. Mm-hmm. Satan, he was in heaven. What did he want? He wanted authority over God. Again, my little precious Emre. I love my daughter. She's just so precious. But for her, whatever she sees she wants, she's going to cry. She's going to pout. She's going to put her fingernails in my skin. She's going to do whatever she wants because she wants what she wants. She wants to have authority at a young age. 3 years old, 5 years old. They want it. Until they can understand authority and submit authority and ask those questions why, the question is there why. What made it, why did you do this? When they say, why did you do this? For them to think about is that, their motive's in it. I did this because I was selfish. I did this because I didn't want to get in trouble by my parents. I did these things. So they come out and be able to say to why they're doing these things. And you point it back to the heart and seeing that they did these things Because they want to rule in that moment. Yeah.
Because one thing happened when you first bring babies home, as a Christian, they start training you.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they want to get up.
Yeah.
They could be driving.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and one thing too is that as they train us, they're training us that we submit to them.
Yeah.
It's 3 years old, and it gets 7 years old, 15 years old. And you get to the age right here, you tell the child to do something at 17 years old. You know, for them, at that age right now, they're so aggressive then, and they bow up at that time.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get these precious years back, families.
No.
You cannot get these years back. And so it's good to tell the child no.
Yeah.
Let them feel it now. Let them feel the no right now. And sometimes parents are kind of hard to say no, right? But to let them feel that they're not, guess what? They're going to see that, man, it is a God. I need to submit to him as well. By doing this, you point them to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
By letting them have their way, you point them to Satan.
Mm.
That's what we're doing.
Wow.
Good point. Thank you for that. Yeah.
When I found out as raising my kids, me and my wife would have a really conflict when it comes to really hardcore discipline. What I'm saying is my boys is in my heart, but you also have to have discipline. And a lot of times more on the boys than you do the girls because you want them to be strong. And you have to have a strong discipline in the house. My mom, I was raised by my mom, so it was a little bit different. But trying to talk to my wife, said you got to have some discipline. And sometimes it got to be a little stronger than you want it. You got to put him out to maybe he can see a little better. He go out there and stay outdoors for a few days. My mama did me that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Threw all my clothes out, say, you know, act like the dog, live out there with him.
And I think the purpose of that, too, is just letting them know authority. In a sense of letting them know that they're being very prideful and they're wanting things their way and they don't want to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yes.
She would just give us a good, solid spanking to deliver our soul from hell.
Yeah.
And when they're little, nowadays they just give them time out. Well, that's just a cop out. They need a physical. That's what the spanking is. It's physical pain. But it shouldn't be with anger.
Right. Yes.
And I remember one time when I was a little girl, we lived in Japan, and we had a maid, and I despised her. She was a Japanese lady. And I despised her. I thought she was stupid. And I was just a little girl. And I said something snide and snotty about that maid, and my mother gave me a solid whipping. And that made an impression on me. Mama did it. She did it was just, and she gave you a solid one. My dad would get mad, and it made the kid mad, you know, he'd do that. But I needed his, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's really necessary. Physical spanking. Thou shalt beat him with the rod. Thou shalt deliver a soul from hell. Thou shalt not spare his crying.
Yeah.
That's what God made witches for.
That's
word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't talk a little kid and be obedient.
No.
They know about this.
Yeah.
But there's a time when there's a rod and reproof.
And reproof, yeah. And what Miss Priscilla said, she's not saying any type of abuse.
Amen.
Right. She's not saying it at all.
Amen.
And so I want to make that clear.
Love them.
Yeah, exactly.
And then also another thing, you don't just swat it. I know some people, they take a fly swatter. They swat at them. Mama said, you don't spank at them, you spank them. You don't hit at them. You do that solid. Because you don't just give them a flop. She said, that just makes them mad.
Yeah.
She said, you spank them past the mad, you spank them to the sad point. Wow. You know, she was fair.
We got a long way to go, don't we, y'all?
Yeah.
You just have to pray, Lord, help me spank them the right way.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, all things by prayer. Lord, help me.
That's true. Like I said, in our society, the words of wisdom from Ms. Cooper, it's very foreign in our society. Because of so many things here. But we have an opportunity to in a sense of in a process to point our kids to the gospel. But if we're not, you know, say dealing with them in the way we see biblically, our kids are going down this route and things of that nature. And so, thank you guys for that, for the wisdom there. Yes, Emily. Yes. Yeah.
I said, I'm the youngest one here in this group, and we were debating, and I said, I've put the fear of God in my daughter.
Yeah.
That, you know, if I just, and it's the scariest one is when you whisper to him. That's the fear already put in.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah. And the thing of it, I mean, as in a sense of is that, dealing with the severity, and we're going to get into mostly with how the discipline, the severity on different issues. We're going to get into all those different things. But I want to go ahead and just introduce you guys to these things this month and process these things. And we're going to go more in depth into these things. And so I think it's going to be helpful for all of us. And for parents, you have older kids. It's going to teach you also as you're in a sense of kids around, helping us with kids around here. Because all of us parents, we want people to even approach our kids in a biblical worldview. I'm pretty sure Emily, with her daughter, if anyone is going to approach her daughter, she wants us to come with a biblical worldview. She wants us to actually do things in a God-honoring way. And so we want to make sure that we're going about it in an honoring way, even the kids here in the church. Let me pray for us. We're out of time here today. Father God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us, Lord, to get introduced, Lord, to marriage and parenting. So a lot was said today, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to help us through these things so we can use these things, Lord, to better honor you, Lord, and better honor our time, Lord, as we raise our children, Lord, and also husbands leading their families, and also for single mothers, Lord, for them to lead their families. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless us and keep us. In Christ, let me pray. Amen.